Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
And a young can change it with one swing. Just one, baby. Redbirds.
Yeah, we need to talk a little bit about the Cardinals because that team right now is on a very, very hot streak. So I wanted to bring someone onto the show that I know enjoys talking about the Cardinals and enjoys talking about the National League Central. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. 500 new and used vehicles for you at Alpamonte Ford. Michael Kim is an amazing broadcaster. I have the opportunity and had the pleasure of working with him for a few years back when 120 Sports was 120 Sports, and now it's called Stadium. He hosts a show called The Territory that airs every morning at 9 o'clock our time, and occasionally I get to hang out with him and do that show. He's a good friend and a great colleague, and if you're like, wait, I know that name. Yeah, you probably remember Michael Kim when he was at ESPN. He's still doing great work, and he was nice enough to join me today. What's up, Kimmer?
Hey, Lawrence. You're not going to make me cry today, are you?
I'm trying. I mean, I apparently made Nick Castellanos cry earlier today, so I'm going to try not to do that, even though it ended up being great radio. But I'm glad that you were available and on the show. Let's start here. How excited are you about what the Cardinals are doing?
You know, to be honest with you, I thought they'd be in better shape. And quite frankly, I thought the Cubs, too, would be in a better situation than they are right now. I'm surprised that this division, while it's a dogfight exactly like people predicted at the beginning of this season, I thought they would be at the top of the entire National League and fighting it out for who could get to 95 wins. I think right now what it looks like about 86 to 88 wins is going to win this division. So I am pleased that the Cardinals, as a lifelong Cardinals fan, they're doing well, but I just thought that they and the Cubs and the Brewers would be better off.
Was there any point throughout this run that the Cardinals have had this season where you were like, I don't think they're good enough? I mean, what were they, 41-41 on July 1st, and since then they're 25-16. I don't know if I saw that type of run in them at the time.
Right. If you go back to the first month of the season, they, I thought, were in position to really run away from the Central and maybe all of the National League. They got off to a great start, and then things started happening. Some injuries took place, and then through it all, for the first half of the season, Paul Goldschmidt was not the guy that the Cardinals thought they got from Arizona, and I know your listeners there certainly know full well as pretty much the fan bases of every NL Central team know what Paul Goldschmidt can do, and he did not turn it on, and maybe still isn't the guy that they thought, but in the end, maybe we'll have some totals that are a little bit more like what he has done for the bulk of his career. Matt Carpenter has still not found his swing, which has been a shocker. Every now and then, he'll pop a home run, but certainly not the guy that we have grown accustomed to where he is getting on base at a 400 clip. That's not happening this season, and he's struggling to hit above the Mendoza line as far as his average is concerned. The offense as a whole has just been awful, and it's stunning because every other aspect of this team has really done well, Lawrence. The defense and base running, two areas that Mike Schilt said he was going to focus on back in spring training, they have lived up to that billing. The bullpen has been outstanding, one of the best in the National League. And here of late, the starting pitching, I don't know if you realize over the last seven games, the staff has thrown three shutouts and four for the month of August. And in the other two games, or two other games in this last week, they've held the opponent down to below two runs. So the starting pitching, even though at the trade deadline, a lot of Cardinals fans were upset that the team didn't do anything to help them in that vein, and management kept saying, hey, we have the arms here in place to be able to do this and win come September and October. And actually right now, over the past week, they really have stepped up. It's been incredible. Dakota Hudson had a no-hitter when he was pulled from the game, which, by the way, I thought Mike Schilt made the right call at 111 pitches. He was gassed in the heat last night. And they ended up one-hitting the Brewers, which I'm waiting for them to basically get back to the way they were hitting back in late March, early April as well.
Yeah, but you know about the Brewers. It just feels like if it isn't Yelich this year, if it isn't Yelich, then I don't know how they're going to be able to do this. It has to be him having MVP heroic, like superhero-esque type escapades for them, I think, to beat out the Cardinals and the Cubs.
Yeah, I think earlier this season, if the Cardinals were to pitch, for whatever reason, they kept pitching to Yelich. And I think you probably remember when Gary Thorne, the broadcaster for the Orioles, kept wondering why the Orioles pitchers were throwing to Gleyber Torres, who hit, 13 home runs against them this season. And so he's like, what are you doing? Walk him. Well, if you saw last night, Yelich came up when they went to Andrew Miller, the guy they signed to combat guys like Yelich in the division, and he comes in and they immediately gave him the automatic bases. And so they load up the bases for Moustakas, who's been a little bit of a Cardinals killer as well, but he grounds out in the inning. And so finally they're kind of doing stuff like that where they're, taking the odds and saying, you know what, this guy Yelich has been too good against the Cardinals. And so they walked him, and it worked last night. We'll see what happens. But you're right. I don't know why they haven't been able to click offensively, but I guess you could probably say that about a lot of teams, and certainly in the Central, right? The Cubs, I know, haven't hit as well as they would like and would expect going into this season. The Brewers certainly haven't, and neither have the Cardinals. And I can't figure it out in this juiced ball season why those three teams who everyone thought at the beginning of the season were the among, if not the class of the National League, and I guess they still are, but they're just not hitting like the Dodgers and I guess the Braves. It's I don't know. It's puzzling. I don't have the answer to it. I'm sure, you probably asked that question to Joe Maddon. I don't know. What has he told you?
He goes to the splits on the road, and he talks about, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. He said the problem for them has been the road at night. And he hasn't been able to figure out why that has been a sticking point. He said the road day games, they've been fine, but the road at night is where they've struggled. And I expect, with this homestand that they have, this will give them an opportunity to get well. But the thing is that now the games that earlier in the season on their schedule where you're looking at the Mets and you're thinking, oh, well, there's a series win for the Cubs. Well, now you're legitimately in a dogfight with that team as far as the wild card goes. And if Pete Alonso keeps doing magical stuff and Phil Regan's out there at 118 years old getting that pitching staff together, the games that you thought that you were going to win, you're not comfortable thinking you're going to win them anymore.
Yeah, and the Nationals, my gosh, have you seen what they've been doing here over the last, 62 runs over the last five games? This offense has not skipped a beat since losing Bryce Harper, and they're not fully healthy, which is kind of scary. And Max Scherzer isn't with them, right? I mean, he's still going to be a guy that they're going to count on in September and in October. And that's a dangerous, dangerous team. Now, I know in the history of this franchise, getting to October is one thing. Winning in October is another thing as far as the Nationals are concerned. But at some point here, you keep going, you're going to get over the hump. And who knows, maybe this is the year that they actually do it, which would be crazy without Bryce Harper.
Spending a few minutes talking with my friend Michael Kim. You can watch Michael on the Territory, 9 a.m. on Stadium, watchstadium.com if you want to watch it online. You might even be able to watch it within the sound of my voice. You can watch it over the air TV as well. But watchstadium.com tomorrow morning, you'll see Michael Kim on there. Looking at the Cubs, what scares you about the Cubs?
Pitching, that Yu Darvish is starting to pitch like, and anyway, he has been here of late, pitching like the guy that they thought they were going to get last year, right? He has been sensational. I don't have his numbers in front of me. You can probably tell me, but He looks the part of an ace. And that's, as you guys know, something that, you know, every team obviously needs, but they haven't had here. I think that's probably been as big a problem as anything, right, as far as the staff. And who knows what happens on the back end. As a Cardinals fan or as an outsider looking into the Cubs, it has just surprised me that this team going into this season, I thought, okay, they needed a leadoff hitter and they needed a closer. And while they did address the closer situation at the midway point of the season, it obviously has having some issues there with Craig Kimbrel with getting him fully healthy, and we'll see what happens here the rest of the way. But I was surprised that they didn't address that from day one in the off season. But if they can get things going, get things rolling there, look, you're not going to have a better closing situation than Craig Kimbrel if he does pitch like he has in the past. So that's the scary part. If they get the lead, they're going to be able to shut down teams in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings.
Yeah, Darvish and Quintana, I mean, they've been great. And they're two guys that Cubs fans kind of reflexively have had issues with. And, you know, Quintana partly because of what you gave up to get him. And I keep trying to tell him, like, this guy's really good. Like, he's good. He didn't get run support over on the south side. He's been pitching like the guy that I saw pitch over on the south side. It might be too little too late for some Cubs fans, but he's been their best pitcher. If you look at Fangraphs WAR, he's their best pitcher. And you're right about Darvish, Michael, where you've got everyone knows that he's got the Nintendo stuff. And now you're seeing him put it into practice. He looks comfortable and he looks confident. And when he is that way, he is a dangerous pitcher.
Oh, yeah. And here's a little thing that I felt, okay, this is a guy who's getting comfortable and wants to do well. I think there have been some questions about his motivation or his intensity given last year, and I think it was all just, you know, he just wasn't healthy. But the fact that he came to spring training and was doing interviews in English, that told me something, that here's a guy who really wants to impress and wants to do well. And if he can just get healthy, then he's going to get over the hump and really be the guy that the Cubs thought they got. And I think we're seeing that here over the last few weeks. That's the scary part. The other thing, by the way, that also scares me is outside of the Dodgers, I mean, they're just, you know, they're like a video game offense. The fact that the Cubs have a plus 70 run differential, that's second best, I believe, no, third best in the National League. And the fact that they have 40 runs better than what the Cardinals have right now, and, you know, they're half game out of first right now as we speak, that's scary. And I think that shows you that this offense, if they get some pitching, and they're starting to get that, this is going to be a force. I mean, when everybody's clicking on that offense, and by the way, your listeners, anybody out there who is criticizing Chris Bryant, come on, guys. This guy is a stud. The numbers across the board, and I hear it all the time here talking to Cubs fans who are just like, Chris Bryant, this and that. I'm like, what are you talking about? This guy is one of the elite players right now with his numbers. I mean, yes, we've seen when he's gone off, but even right now, you cannot complain and criticize the performance that he's putting down here in 2019. It boggles my mind, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm with you, and that's why I always joke that it'll be great when Chris is playing on the south side and is fully appreciated when he becomes a free agent. And I've started the rumor that Chris Bryant has a dog named Comiskey, can get him over on the south side as soon as possible. I'm sure Jerry could come up with $300 million for that young man, and he'd be lucky to have him over there, and we will appreciate him. Michael, how can people watch Stadium and watch your show, The Territory?
All right. Well, certainly, like you mentioned, it's on Stadium. You can download the app. You can also watch us on watchstadium.com. We're on a number of different other outlets, whether it's through I can't even name them all, you know, Pluto and YouTube, of course, and all the different ways that people can now stream video. We're there. And always, of course, love having you there with your perspective on so many different things. It gives you a chance, I know, to speak about the national sports scene. I mean, you're so solid as far as your Chicago knowledge. The godfather of Chicago sports, so by the way, you know, we love having that perspective, but I love hearing how you think about things regarding the Dallas Cowboys or the New England Patriots or the San Francisco Giants or whatever the sport is. I just love to hear your perspective and the intelligence that you bring to our show. And I hope we get to see each other on Friday, right? Are you going to come in on Friday?
I haven't decided yet. I mean, you kind of dissed me on Instagram, Michael. I mean,
No, that was all love. That was all really more of you know, I'm trying to show the love to Amina Smith and Kristen Balboni, who are also on the show. You know, I just want to make them feel welcome that they're coming back because, you know, I didn't want them to feel like, you know, what we have going and what we already had going from our years at 120 Sports, you know, that they couldn't come back in and find their way. You know, it was really more about that.
Well, you'll see me sure on Monday. I'll send you the $20 for that. I'll see you for sure on Monday, and I'll let you know if I can make it on Friday. But I appreciate you jumping on the radio show and giving me a perspective of what's going on with the Cardinals.
All right. You tell me. What do you see? Do you have time to tell me what you see that concerns you about the Cardinals?
The fact that Goldschmidt has had these binges, you know, the fact that Flaherty has been better, that scares me a little bit. Their bullpen to me is more solid than their rotation. I just think the Cubs are better, and I think that eventually that's going to matter. And it's scary because now we're talking about 40 games, and it's not a lot of time to have it matter. But my goodness, though, those last 2 weeks of the season between the Cubs and the Cardinals is going to be insane.
I made the prediction yesterday that we are going to see a game 163 between the two teams. And it's going to be a situation where it could be the winner goes on and obviously wins the division title, and the loser is out, like going home or staying home, whatever the case may be, because, you mentioned the Mets. That's a team. That's a dangerous team right now. And of course, the Phillies obviously got a lot of confidence in that Cubs series. And if Bryce Harper starts feeling comfortable and feeling like, you know, the guy that they thought they were going to get, then, you know, all bets may be off.
Michael, I'll see you soon, man. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Lawrence.
That is Michael Kim of the Stadium Network. You can follow him on Twitter at MichaelKimHD. He's the goods, man. One of the really good guys in our business. We need to take a break. How about a little bit of Bears? We've been Cubs-centric. I'm going to share a little bit of what's going on in training camp with our buddy Chris Emma coming up next here on The Score. Thanks again to the Budweiser Brickhouse for bringing us out here. This place is great. It's got great food. They usually have a wall of donuts, too, when I walk in. The donuts are usually gone by the time that I walk out, but when I walk in, they're usually here in a lot of different flavors. They have sliders available for everyone, pizza. It's a good time. I think I might stick around. I don't ordinarily, I usually try to get back south, but considering the rain and stuff, maybe I'll stick around and have a little bit of lunch before I get out of here. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass and Get It to Gerber. When you back into someone, who is backing out? That's when you get it to Gerber. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit GerberCollision.com or 877-7-GERBER to find the nearest Gerber location. And a hearty thank you to TimberTech, TimberTech.com, and the folks at Xfinity who have done our on-deck luncheon series. So this is it, right, Shane? I'm done with this. I really hope that we have another one. I hope that we're able to put together a playoff on deck luncheon because I think that would be kind of dope. And I don't even know if you need to get anyone new. Pick from the six guys that we've had. Pick any two from the six guys that we had, and we could end up having a really, really great time doing it. Texer hit me up at 670-11 and said, when I was talking to Michael Kim about the Cubs' talent eventually is going to matter, line has been getting old since 2016. That's what the Texas said. But they're better than the other team. I'm not saying that means that they're going to win the World Series. By no means am I saying that. I just think when I look at the three teams that are in contention to win the Central, I feel like the Cubs are on paper better. They haven't always been better on the actual field, and I'm wondering when is the moment when that's going to change? When is the moment when they're going to be like, okay, we're good, you know, the we're good thing? When is that going to rear its ugly head and pop back up and find them getting some space from the rest of the teams in the division? But you can't knock what the Cardinals are doing right now, man. They had a no-hitter going, was it 6 2/3 last night? They beat the Brewers. They've won 8 out of 10 games. And if you go back to July 1st, on July 1st, the Cardinals were 41-41. And they've gone 25-16 since then. So they're a team that has been playing better ball. Paul Goldschmidt, Jack Flaherty, both of those guys have been great. Colton Wong is hitting .400 in the second half. Marcelo Ozuna in the last few games has been really good. Their bullpen has been terrific, and now you're starting to see their starting rotation do a little bit better overall too. They're scary. What's going well for the Cubs, though, is that you do have Yu Darvish pitching as well as he's pitched in a Cubs uniform, and he looks like a guy that's in charge now. You know, there are a lot of times when you watch Darvish pitch where he doesn't feel great. He doesn't look sure of himself. And now he's got that, for lack of a better term, he's got that swagger about him. And watching Quintana has been a lot of fun because you see him put it together. And it just puts you in a better position to win. You're not going to win all those games. I'm still a little concerned that the offense outside of Castellanos hasn't been consistent. And I don't know what it is that they can do. You know, and you're still seeing Joe kind of mess around with the lineup a little bit, and he's got to figure out, well, who's going to lead off this game, and do I do this against lefties and this versus righties? They've made moves. They've moved guys down to the minors. You know, Albert Almora Jr. is in the minors now. David Bodie is in the minors now. So they're and those guys will obviously be back on September 1. And who knows what if they do make it to the playoffs. Like, I feel like Almora has a lot of value on a playoff roster because of what he can do defensively. But the Cubs still need to get there first. And getting there first means that they've got to shield off this Cardinals team that is playing really well. I don't know if you're scoreboard watching or even paying attention to what they're doing, but they're doing some cool stuff, and they look scarier right now than what the Brewers look like. And it'll help if the Cardinals can push the Brewers back some and get them kind of out of this race, but it also means that the Cubs will have to keep pace, and they'll have to win, and they'll have to win starting tonight against the Giants. So we need to take a break. We'll come back. I promised you Bears. I'm going to give you some Bears. We're going to talk about that next here on The Score. Hint water, man. It's delicious. It's got the essence of watermelon, cherry in it. If you want something that's refreshing, drinkhint.com. Drinkhint.com. Hint, mouthwatering water. Okay, Bears update. What's going on with them at camp? Here's Chris Emma's report.
With thunderstorms bearing down over Halas Hall, Coach Matt Nagy is moving his team inside the Walter Payton Center for practice this afternoon. It's the first of three straight days with practice for the Bears as they adapt to their game week schedule and routine. Today will mark the return of Kyle Long to the practice field after an apparent internal suspension. Long was removed from practice last Wednesday after ripping the helmet from teammate Jalen Dalton and throwing it in his direction. He did not travel with the Bears for their preseason game last Friday at MetLife Stadium. Nagy spoke of Long's return to the team.
Yeah, we're past it, and now it's not about talking anymore. It's just about, for us, it's about everybody showing what we can do. It's showing by your actions, whether that's being a good football player or being a good person. You gotta. I always tell my kids, don't talk about it, be about it. You know, so we got it. It's time to start being about it.
The Bears will have their starting offensive line back together as left guard Cody Whitehair is set to practice after leaving last Wednesday with a finger injury. Backup tackle Rashad Coward remains sidelined after an elbow injury suffered in the preseason game last Friday. The Bears will take the practice field at 1:40 today as they would for a regular season game week. Nagy said the team will not simulate game week for its preseason finale next week. For continued coverage of the Bears, log on to 670thescore.com.
A big thanks to Chris Emma for that report. Yeah, I figured they would probably move inside today, and it makes sense for them to do so.
I really do. I found myself, I wouldn't say coming around is the right way to describe it, but I appreciate what Matt Nagy is trying to do with the preseason. And I think that it's something that catches on around the league and that other coaches are going to try it too. The Cubs kind of become the Cubs. The Bears kind of become the guinea pig in this, and they need to have a good season because there's not a lot of data. When I keep going back and forth, what do you say? Do you say data or data?
I'm a data guy.
Is Campy at the microphone?
Yeah, I'm a data guy too.
Does data seem like it's a like you're a jerk if you use data versus data?
No, I think that's one that goes. You could probably use either with that.
I think it's baggery.
Okay, well here's my thing.
Tomato or something.
You're right. Or when I'm insistent that people refer to a White Sox player as a White Sox, that is some baggery. But it's baggery that I willingly admit to. Because I'm a big Star Trek geek, like when I say data, like I think of Data, the android. So I feel like I should just say data. Maybe it is baggery, but if you guys say that it's not, then I'll go with data. Anyway, there isn't a lot of data on this because there's only the one season of what Matt Nagy was trying to do. I do think that him putting, less on a preseason game makes all the sense in the world. And I'm glad that he's doing it, even though it ends up ruining for us. Like those, we used to look forward to that because like, oh, football's coming back. And then you're like, oh, it's a preseason game that no one cares about, especially the Bears. Like they don't care about it at all. And I think that that's all right. I think it's something that it's been trending this way in the NFL for a while. I wonder, since you're starting to see more and more of the training camps come back to campus, at some point are we going to see the Bears move back to Halas Hall? It's so funny because we got into a discussion about this with Hub last week, and I meant to do a pod on it, and I just didn't. But maybe I'll do that. Maybe it'll be one of the things I do on the pod later on today. By the way, if you're like, man, this show was great, I missed all the stuff with Nick Castellanos and Derek Holland. Well, if you download the radio.com app, it has show archives for everybody. So every show, all of the great guests, you can hear all of the hours. And I know that it can't be retweeted if you missed the first hour, if you missed what was a really cool. And I bristle a little bit at talking about how emotional Castellanos got, because I don't want to exploit that emotion. I do think that it's valuable. Like if you're someone that needs some of the non-baseball stuff to root for a guy, I would highly recommend that you check out the hour that we did, because if Nick Castellanos wasn't your favorite guy, he probably is after that. And he not that he needed to win over anyone when your on base percentage is 40, you know, but he won over a lot of people in this room, and we gave some raw emotions. I tweeted out the video of it if you wanted to see it. And if you're like, well, wait, what's the context of it? The context is that Joe Maddon said some pretty nice things about him. And this is what I say about Joe all the time. His superpower is managing people. He gets it. And that's why I think that he's valuable over other managers. Not every other manager, because Tito Francona is another guy that I think is great with people too. Joe just has a way, man, and it's not an easy thing to duplicate. So keep that in mind. It's about time for McNeil and Parkins here on The Score, and it's also time to get an amazing mortgage rate with your own personal Lakeside mortgage banker. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. I'll talk with McNeil and Parkins after this on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thank you goes to the Budweiser Brickhouse who hosts our on-deck luncheons. Hopefully we'll have another one. I think we should have another one. If the Cubs are pushing for a playoff spot, we should come back and do one more, I think. Thanks to the crew. Thanks to my man Ryan. Always doing big things, keeping me sane out here. Thanks to Shane Reardon. Or how was it that David Deal said his name? Reardon? Thanks to him. Thanks to Rich Wyatt for making everything sound good, which is very important. Thanks to Brian Gertz for everything looking good. And there's the video of us with Nick Castellanos that you should definitely check out. It was really good. Thanks to Derek Holland and Nick for coming here. Thanks to the Cubs for giving those guys and my crew back at the ranch. See Tony repurposing audio. It's a good thing. Tony Gill and Rick Camp for their hard work on the show. Now we go down the street to the other side of the glass and we get the opportunity to hear McNeil and Parkins in their last show in the kitchen.
I love it. Yeah.
Supposedly, yeah.
The last, right, supposedly is the operative word here. You're right about that. And I love the coaching, too. That's the way to re-merchandise that sound, Dangerous. You keep it coming. When I get Joe Theismann on, I want my audience an hour and a half to know that he was on and they missed it. That's what it's all about, buddy. That's good.
That was an interesting hour, Lawrence. That was interesting. I didn't hear all of the beginning, but there were some reports that it was, as Mac used to say, a little bit of turbulence on takeoff a little bit to get those guys to open up, and then you play the audio for him, for Castellanos, from Madden, and he opens up like your Roy Firestone. That was an interesting, wide-ranging hour.
Yeah, I mean, Derek was, he's, you know,
yeah, Derek's
he's
great.
A crazy person.
Yeah.
So he was ready to go. With Nick, it was, Nick needs to feel you out. He's just not... He's not here for the play. Like, that's the thing. So you had, like, complete opposites.
Yeah, turning off the TVs when he walks in the clubhouse, that I'm still digesting that one as to whether that's, you know, an approach that's going to – it works for him, obviously. And, man, I love what he's done, too, and I loved a lot of what I was able to hear today. But I think – you know, over the course of a long grind of a season, guys who take things so seriously run a real high risk of putting off some of their teammates. It's a job. I get that. But you also got to keep it a little bit loose. And I'm sure a lot of guys enjoy watching TV in the clubhouse, whether it's, I don't know, MLB or just a soap opera, whatever, just to relax for a little while. So that's, I'm still mulling that one. I'm not so sure I'm on board with that. How about you, Lawrence?
I could make the argument that clubhouse might need a little sandpaper.
Maybe. Maybe that's true. And
I don't know if Joe would agree.
He probably wouldn't, but listen to what he said about Castellanos, too.
For sure. When I was listening to that, I couldn't help but think about Rizzo's comments about Theo and Joe's comments about Castellanos, and Rizzo was rubbed the wrong way and got a little defensive and then doubled down on it with his interview with ESPN and was like, yeah, you know, Nick's great. Nick's been great for us, but when you single out one person for their hunger, it makes it sound like the rest of us aren't working hard, and I'm obviously paraphrasing what Rizzo said, but... It is an interesting dynamic how, because clearly they've needed his play on the field and his edge off the field. It's clearly been beneficial. But I do wonder, like, after listening to more of him, I could see why it would rub the wrong way. It almost had a little bit of a Tim Tebow vibe to me. Like, oh, wow, this guy is just perfect in every way. And then it gets a little annoying by comparison.
Buddy the Elf with double knits and a baseball cap.
Yeah, and it's weird because that sounds like a criticism, and I honestly don't mean it to be, because he clearly comes by it.
It's a bit of a slap.
Well, but he comes by it very genuinely, right? Like, he's not faking it. So be yourself, and that's great. But I could see why that would rub a guy like Anthony Rizzo, who's been a leader on this team and carried himself as a professional. I could see why it would rub a guy like Rizzo the wrong way.
But we've also had the conversations on there is an argument to be made that this is a group that's a little entitled. And maybe even though they think that they are putting out as much as they can and they're working hard and they're great ball players, that you sometimes you need to add a little bit of spice to the dish.
I get it. And Epstein admitted as much after the season last year. He hinted, and I don't remember his exact words, but paraphrasing, that there seemed to be the impression that you put on that jersey and you're going to go out there and be special because we're the Cubs and we won it in 2016 and we win 95 games every year. I can understand that, but whatever the case may be, at least for the short term, it has been working, and I look forward to this series with the Giants. Jeff Samardzija, Sammy, the Shark from Northwest Indiana, has been on fire since the middle of the season, and hopefully he's going to join us Wednesday. They missed him when they were out there, but he will pitch against them in the matinee on Thursday on getaway day. So it's going to be a fun series, as they all will be from here on out.
Yeah, that's... And with the Cardinals playing as well as they're playing right now. And I don't know if I saw – I expected the Cubs to have the 8 out of 10, 12 out of 16 type run and it not be St. Louis. They're doing everything right now. They're getting help from everywhere. So the last 40 games of the season are going to be a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, there's all those games between the two, right? There's still, 10 games left just in September? So it's going to be – they're not going to run away with it, and if they play poorly against the Cardinals, they will not only not win the division, they will miss the playoffs entirely.
Yeah, and we will lose our over-under wagers for the year because we both had them. Chopot has them, I think, at 89 victories for the year for $500, and you have them on your own.
So yeah, I bet them to win the division.
Go Cubs, right?
Yeah, before the all of them are coming down. Our Bodie plate appearances, our Contreras home runs.
I love that one now.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of things going on, but it's a weird feeling, Lawrence. Like, they're back home, so now it's just an expectation that they're going to win 68 to 70% of their games. It could go the other way. They could.
It absolutely could go the other way, and that's what's terrifying. Like, their margin is not great right now.
No, because we keep waiting for, like, the glass half full approach is, when are they going to bring how they're playing at home on the road? The inverse of that is, what if they bring how they're playing on the road home? And then it gets really ugly. So, yeah, there's lots of moments, I would think, around this team right now.
Yeah, and one of them is starting tonight. we don't – looking at what Cole Hamels has been
– at home, he'll be all right. Don't you think? I mean, he's been really good at home. That seems to be his comfort zone like no other in many years. He's been really good at home. His last two starts when he got roughed up, both roadies, right?
Yeah, but it's also like – I'm just concerned that guy's not all the way right physically and that he's a gamer. So he'll be like, yeah, I can go out there and I can give you what you need. But I'm not sure that he's all the way back from that injury. And that's what scares me, that you do have guys that are putting out and saying, look, I want to be a reason why this team wins the division and goes to the playoffs. But that delicate balance of, are you doing more to hurt the team than help the team, is one of the concerns that I have with Hamels.
Yeah, Jed and the organization stance, when Jed was on with me on Thursday, he said he healed from the injury. Like, there was no concern about bringing him back too quickly. It was a different level of severity from his previous oblique injury. But the problem was that the injury caused his mechanics to get off. So that this is purely mechanical, it's not physical, but neither one is good, because every time he goes out there, if he's pitching like he did the last two times, he gives them no chance to win.
And the mechanical could then end up leading to it being physical again.
Correct.
Like, speaking of mechanical, I have a question for you, Lawrence, and I don't want to spend a ton of time
with you. Yes, Mr. McNeil.
Who was your engineer today at the show?
Rich Wyatt.
Okay. Is he near the? Is he wearing headphones now?
He's listening right now.
Okay. Did you guys do an air check or sound check before you went on?
We did.
Okay.
What sounded bad?
The players' headphones weren't. They we couldn't hear them. It was. You didn't hear it?
Wait. I don't know. What do you mean?
We could not hear the beginning of at the very beginning of the interview. And I'm not here to pee on cornflakes, but we've had some engineering issues on remotes in recent weeks, and it's a big event, and you're coming out of the gate, and the microphones aren't on. Headphones are jostling, and I just hope we can rectify these little issues along the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go back and listen to it. I mean, I heard the guys fine. Did and they you? Both had their headphones
did
on.
You, did you hear, Danny, did you hear the start of it?
I didn't hear the first segment, like I said. I heard
they couldn't hear
I heard
themselves,
the crying.
And we couldn't
I was at lunch.
Hear, yes, yes. It got fixed in about 20 seconds.
Well, that's
but
good.
Yeah, it was the first few seconds of the interviews. They were off mic, and they couldn't hear themselves, and it made them whiplash a little bit. That's what I heard, anyway.
Okay, well, I'll go back.
Yeah,
and
I'm not putting it on you, Lawrence. I'm not putting
it
on you.
Everything starts and stops with me. So if it wasn't good, it wasn't good. But I'll go back and review it. And
well,
see
it was a home run
can.
Show, man. I'm not saying anything but that. But it just, the rubber hits the road with guys who control the buttons.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, have a wonderful show,
thanks,
and I will
bud.
See you back in the new studio tomorrow.
Yes, the new studio. There are a lot of wires going on, but they say it's all going to be ready tomorrow. It's very exciting. The TV's on the floor. It's a good-looking studio.
Actually, we'll be at Aurelio's tomorrow in Wrigleyville, so one of our headphones won't be started at the beginning.
Oh, stop. Get over
there
it.
There he goes again.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.